another week in the Premier League and another defeat, but this was a performance that will have some people sitting up and taking notice. Hopefully those people who are sitting up and taking notice are the Sheffield United board and those who are in charge of recruitment, for if not for some forced changes in the second half, then Friday's defeat to Nottingham Forest could have been very, very different. This is the Star Blades podcast Monday review. I'm Chris Holt. I've got Danny Hall with me as usual on a Monday to go over the weekend's match, which was of course on Friday night against Nottingham Forest. As I said, Danny, in the intro there, an improved performance and certainly a lot of positive aspects of the game that we could take from it. But ultimately, I think we all have been a little let down by the slow aspect of the summer recruitment here, given that in the second half of the match, with a couple of players cramping up and a couple of players picking up knocks, Paul Heckenbottom was forced to look towards a few kids who have little or no Premier League experience, very little Championship experience for that matter, coming off the bench. And that is ultimately certainly from my point of view, I'll put it to you, that's where the difference was, wasn't it, on Friday night?
Yeah, 100%. I think you nailed it there in that it's not even Premier League experience, it's not even Championship experience, it's football experience, isn't it? You know, these boys have barely kicked a ball in senior football, and I'm almost a bit wary of being too critical of them. Obviously, it's not their fault at all. Nobody's saying that these boys have kind of won a raffle to part of the squad or anything. They're obviously very good footballers who are in the squad on merit. But at the same time, the fact that Paul Heckenbottom is calling on them in a real life actual Premier League game at this stage of the season, when points are, as we know, points are always important in the Premier League, aren't they? But you know, at the start, when you can sort of get put a marker down and get a bit of positive momentum building, you know, now they're arguably more important than ever for Sheffield United at the start of the season. The fact that they are turning to players of their, not of their calibre, but of their experience level and their sort of, you know, greenness, for want of a better word, lack of experience, you know, naivety in a few different aspects. You know, Paul touched on it afterwards, something that we sort of overlooked, in that Forrest's winning goal came from Hackford not pressing the centre half as he should or was told to, or as a more experienced striker you imagine would just know to do, and that forces Brooks to go out and you know, leave the spare man, the cross comes in, and obviously Chris Wood, £15 million Forest sub, that kind of highlighted the difference perfectly, didn't it? You know, they brought on Wood and Alanga, £30 million worth of talent, and United brought on Hackford and Brooks, you know, who obviously have very limited football experience between them. So yeah, that's the difference, and it just sort of killed the momentum a little bit, didn't it? As Hecky touched on afterwards with us, imagine if that had been two different strikers, maybe, you know, an Archer or someone, you know, up front starting the game, and then Willa Sula and Benny Traore coming on for the last 15, 20 minutes. You know, you wouldn't want to be a defender, you know, at any level, really, facing that sort of pace and direct threat at any point, would you? So, yeah, we'll never know for sure, but yeah, you're right in that, you know, it just leaves more unanswered questions on it. What if? And that's the biggest thing for me, in that, you know, God forbid this season ends how we all don't want it to end. You know, you look back with questions of what if we'd done this better? What if we had you know, got someone in sooner? What if they had hit the ground running? And that's exactly what you don't want, is it? You don't want those unanswered questions. You want to give yourself every opportunity that you can to hit the ground running, to get those points on the board early, to build that momentum. As it stands, from two pretty winnable games, with no disrespect to Crystal Palace and Nottingham Forest, but with two games that, you know, it wouldn't be the biggest shock in the world that a full strength, you know, last season the Sheffield United arguably beats at least one of those teams.
Yeah, you would not be stunned if the team from last season, the team that finished last season, took 4 points from the opening two games there, would you?
100%. And that's, and look at, again, we'll go back to the last Premier League season, the last first Premier League season, if that makes sense. When they got promoted, that 4 points in the first two games set them up so well, didn't it, for what happened afterwards. It, you know, it, kind of send a message, if you like, to the rest of the Premier League, say, you know, these lads are not to be messed with. But two narrow defeats to two teams who are also not expected to set the Premier League alight, again, with respect to them, kind of sends the other message, doesn't it? That, you know, if you can't, you know, let's be honest, if you can't beat them, what are you expecting to do against the rest of the Premier League? Or if you can't get anything from that. But as you touched on, a massively improved performance for me, a lot of positives from that in terms of how they came back from that early goal. You know, it would have been easy to sort of not throw the towel in, but to be really disheartened by that after that early, you know, that such an early goal at Palace, and you're sort of thinking now, oh, here we go again. But after that, you know, I think they grew into it, didn't they? They dominated it for large parts. Just look back to that Benny Traore chance, if he'd have took it on a little bit further, maybe, or, you know, it's a decent save, to be fair, but if he'd have just took a little bit of a couple of yards forward, you know, he
was done by that point, though, wasn't he?
Yeah,
to be
fair.
He'd run his legs off, I think. Yeah. I think you could tell just by the, I wouldn't say lack of speed, but the certainly he wasn't as sprightly as he was earlier on in the match whenever he was running through on goal there, and you could tell that, you know, his legs were not quite gone at that stage, but they were certainly on their way out.
Yeah, they were going. Yeah, you look back at moments like that. I know Anel had a shot, Danilo, in the second half that was blocked wide, and there were moments there where you thought, you know, United can get something from this. And as I said before, a full-strength side where you have, you know, established starting strikers, and then you bring Will and Benny off the bench, or if Oliver Burnie's fit, you know, it's all if, buts and maybes, isn't it? But, you know, this is what we're dealing in, because, you know, we are waiting for those reinforcements. You know, we keep hearing from Paul that, you know, they're close and they're hoping and they're waiting, but, you know, there's 11 days left of the window, and 6 points, arguably, that were up for grabs have gone. So, you know, if you look at if you take it to the Everton game, that's 4 games gone. You know, you're suddenly playing 34-game season, aren't you, in the Prem, trying to stay up when every other team's at 38 games, sorry. And obviously the advantage of, you know, settling the squad easier and getting all the sort of pieces in place. So, yeah, we're repeating ourselves on these podcasts, but it's the same message as last week and the week before, really. You know, Hecky and his boys are sort of giving it all out there, and now it's over to the, you know, behind the scenes to give them that bit of help that they need.
They do need help. I mean, this my thinking coming away from the game on Friday night, and my only thing about it was, if that performance and the result collectively wasn't a message to the recruitment team and the board and whoever it is that makes the decisions about who brings, you know, which players come in and how quickly those deals happen, then if they don't sit up and take notice of that, then we might as well just wrap it up, because there were so many positives there, like all the things that you said, or the fact that they came back and they were able to come back from that and kind of steadied themselves just before half time, and or certainly by half time they kind of, you know, were really fairly comfortable in the game, albeit a goal back. And then come really out of the blocks in the second half. And there were times, you know, Hammer was a threat. Larucci was a bit more of a threat coming down the left. He was certainly at least trying to take players on. I thought Max Lowe played really within himself. I don't know whether it was because of the mistake he made to give away the goal. It looked like he didn't really want to venture any further beyond the halfway line. But Larucci comes on. And even though he didn't look like he was ever going to beat a man, he was at least trying to, and he was trying to make those runs. And we could see what the plan was, because Norwood was dropping in and playing those, you know, long diagonals for the wide players to run onto, which obviously we've become really accustomed to. And there were so many other things. I thought Asula worked so hard. I can't see him ever scoring a goal, but like his strength and his ability to run at defenders and put them under an immense amount of pressure is superb. And then, you know, as I said, Hammer and Traore, excellent and exciting on the ball. So all of these things, there's a lot to take from it. But we can't keep having, you know, sob stories about, you know, we don't have what it would be great if we brought somebody in, or it would be great if we brought him in, or whatever. Yeah. And
do it then.
Exactly. That's what it comes down to. It should have been on Saturday morning. There should have been a call, a meeting between all of them that said, right, we're in this. We can compete here, albeit against two teams who aren't brilliant, and they're not going to be up the far end of the table, but we can compete here with just a few more signings. We need to get it done.
And 100%, yeah.
If it knocks us a little bit over more what we wanted to pay, then so be it. We'll sort that out afterwards. But at this stage, nothing is going to change until there are about at least three more players in the door.
Yeah, I think you're spot on. I think the fact that also the first two games were so close. Listen, if they'd been pumped, you know, 4-0 on the first day and got pumped again on Friday night, then you probably think, you know what, we are miles away from it. But the fact that those games were so close, that they were turned on such small margins, in that, you know, let's not gloss over it. There was poor defending on Friday night as well. It's not all about the lack of strikers. You can't just gloss over the fact that, you know, certainly the second goal, arguably the first, you know, should have been cut out. You know, it's not all down to the lack of strikers and the lack of strength, but that's such a huge part of it. And as I said, the fact that the opening two games have been so close, turned on those fine margins, should.
I also kind of feel like the defence is being put under further pressure because
we
don't have, Sheffield United don't have that quality or enough of the quality up at the top end, which leads to more mistakes, really, because there's something that, you know, there were a couple of occasions players like John Egan has switched off a little bit, and you're thinking, if there was just a little bit more quality up at the top end of the pitch, then he doesn't need to be so mentally switched on constantly to the point where when he switches off, because we know that, you know, you're in the Premier League, you're in the, you know, what everybody says to be the most competitive and best league in the world.
Yep.
You have to be on it all the time, but at the same time, you need your teammates to kind of help you out. And certainly from United's point of view, defensively, they've switched off a couple of times and been punished. And a lot of that might come down to the fact that they're so mentally tired because they need a bit of help further up the pitch.
Yeah, if you don't get the ball, your opposition has it, don't they? Then they can hurt you. It's the basics of football, isn't it? But I can see this sort of, you know, encouragement in that. I think we talked about Vinicius as well in midfield, who I thought was he was impressive on his debut. I remember speaking to Carlos Arbor afterwards, and he likened him to Patrick Vieira in the middle of the pitch. I think in terms of the way he performed, not in terms of his sort of standard, you know. But I get the point he was making in terms of, you know, he was a big physical figure, weren't he? But
then he was a driving force, wasn't he? You knew he was breaking up play, and he did things kind of simply, but if things are going to go ahead, you want a player who's just going to tackle and break things up and play it to somebody who's better on the ball. And he did all of those things. I was great at it from the start.
And for all the talk about how, you know, the kind of creativity side is not his strong point as well, he had two good chances as well, I thought. Not in terms of, you know, you look at it and think he should score there, but I thought it was kind of clever how he tried to bend the ball around Turner. I think he had one in each half that were the second one he must have thought was in, because he kind of dropped to his knees afterwards in despair. But, you know, you see players in that position blast it and it goes out of the stadium or whatever. And I think the way he tried to sort of, he was a bit of nouse to kill it around the keeper, I thought that was impressive as well. So he looked good before he just blew up, didn't he? Pretty much, you could tell that he had one moment before that where he went down with cramp, and then, you know, he was desperate to play on. But I think the second time he just died of it, didn't he? You could just tell he was done. So that's where they are. You know, these players are learning they're getting their fitness in the middle of Premier League games. It was almost a pre-season game in many ways for a lot of them. We saw, you know, him and Norwood trying to sort out things that should have been ironed out, you know, at Derby last month, whenever it was, in terms of that fitness as well, trying to get the fitness in the middle of a Premier League game when every other team is at it and they're desperate for points. Because you said before about, you know, playing against teams who are in and around you. That's where survival happens, isn't it? It isn't by beating City and Arsenal, Liverpool and Man U and you know, Spurs, any points you get from them are a bonus, aren't they? It's the teams you, it's, sorry, it's the points you pick up from the teams around you that will help you sort of stay up. And obviously, you know, it wouldn't be the massive, biggest surprise if Palace and Forest are two of those teams around United. And they've not, I'm not going to say they've given them 3 points because that's, you know, that's not the case, but they've certainly not put up the biggest fight that they could have done. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and those teams will have obviously looked at United and gone, because they'll be in a similar position to United in the sense that they'll be, they might not admit to this, but they'll have been looking at it and going, right, our squad, if we're honest, we're going to be at the bottom end of the table, certainly anywhere between mid-table and the bottom. That could mean a relegation scrap. And so Sheffield United, in our one of our first games, is going to be something that we have to get a result from, or should be looking to get a result from, to make sure that we've got points on the board.
Yeah, 100%. Look at, again, Forest spent what, 200 million last year, was it? You know, obviously that worked in terms of staying up, but, you know, was the 200 million quid difference on Friday night? Not that we saw, you know.
I find it very interesting, actually, the way that I get the feeling, I kind of get where they're coming from in a sense, but listening to the radio on the way home, there were Nottingham Forest fans coming on the radio, and they were talking as if they'd been an established Premier League team for, you know, 5 or 6 years. They've only had an extra year above United, and they only knocked United out. They only got there by way of a penalty shootout against United. So they were kind of talking as if, like, these are the teams we should be beating. We're better than them. And I looked at them and gone, they were all right. But for a team at home, in their first home game, I wasn't overly impressed by them.
You weren't blown away. Yeah, there's a bit of that about them, isn't there? There's a bit of the a team not too far from here as well about them, if I can put that. You know, there's a lot of similarities between the two in that sort of respect. But yeah, for, you know, that few moments of Gibbs White quality, you know, unbelievable volley pass that he put through, that just unbelievable. Apart from that, you know, Johnson had a bit of space down the right. You know, big striker, had a few decent chances where he should have done better. But you know, there was nothing between the teams, was there really? And you just think, just for that bit more quality, a bit more, you know, robustness, a bit more depth from United, and it would have made it a really good contest, and you backed them to at least get a point, but we'll never know.
No. And what I have seen from the last couple of weeks, we're only two games in, there's a transfer window still open, so everybody's going to, you would think, at least attempt to strengthen their squads. But if we're going to be completely and utterly positive, perhaps overly positive, more positive than we should be, there are a lot of crap teams in the Premier League so far. And certainly I don't think that there are a nailed-on three who you can look at this point and say, they're definitely down. There might be a couple. In some people's eyes, Sheffield United will be one of those. But from what I've seen so far, I kind of feel like there are a good six or seven there who could really struggle this year.
There always are, aren't there? And then there's always a sort of a rogue team that gets dragged in somehow. You know, remember, look at Wolves. Like last time we went to Wolves in the Premier League, and they were absolutely flying. They were on the verge of Europe, I think they were. They might have gone into Europe, I can't remember exactly, at the time. And you thought, this is now an established Premier League team. Chris Wilder used to say this, there's a difference between playing in the Premier League and being a Premier League team. It's the same with players, playing in the Premier League, becoming a Premier League player, are very different things. And I went to Wolves last time and thought, this is a proper Premier League club, this. And then obviously you see them, they're in turmoil, aren't they, as well, the manager leaving and all the stuff about the signings and stuff. So it's quickly amazing how quickly a team can get kind of dragged into that and pulled into it. As you say, everyone's tipping, it's the same old as it, Luton, Sheffield United and one other. Looking at Everton yesterday, they weren't up to much. That game early next month is a huge one, isn't it? Just after the transfer window
I think
as well.
So. Yeah, I think that arguably could. Well, the thing about that match is Everton still, although they are terrible, still have the air of a scalp about them. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But they're likely to be on a similar level to Sheffield United throughout the rest of the season, given what we've seen from them so far. So that, you're right, that could be huge, and it could be just kind of, I know we're almost forgetting about what's going to happen next week because there's an inevitability about that. But that Everton game does seem like it could be massive, because if you pick up a win there, that could be just exactly what they need. I think is the international break after that? So you get that, go into a break, an international break, everybody have a bit of a refresh, sort yourselves out and kick on from there. Well, we are looking a bit far ahead. We're not going to look at Man City just yet because
we don't want to, because we're too scared.
just delaying the inevitable.
Let's just ignore it, pretend it's not there.
We'll talk a little bit about it. It's what you want to be in the Premier League for, isn't it? You see, 100%. Seeing big teams come to your ground and big name players and everything else, and just have a go, really. That I think that's what United fans will just want from Sundays. I nearly said Saturdays, maybe Sunday.
Yeah. And that's probably going to be the basis of Paul Heckingbottom's team talk as well. You know, in that everyone knows, you know, you're out there. Nobody gives you a chance in this. But you know, don't forget they played City. What was it? 4 months ago, whenever it was. It seems like an eternity now.
Yeah.
And that would have been the message then, in terms of, you know, you're going to be playing these players next season. You are a Premier League club in waiting. You know, go and show the levels that you are. And I don't think United disgraced themselves at all. Obviously, you know, the scoreline showed City deserved to win it. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But they were well in it, United, up until that penalty decision at the edge of half-time. Kept early. All the talk before was how many's Haaland going to get. Managed to keep him quiet. The only issue was that they forgot about Mahrez, who was not a bad player, by the way, and scored three, of course. But yeah, they said this is what you're in the Premier League for. And results, that result will not define United's season. It won't have any bearing on United's season, really. You know, unless they get pumped massively. You know, it's almost one of those that you write off. It's your games against Everton, against Forest, against Palace, against Luton. You know, they're the teams that will define, or the games, sorry, that will define the season. So these are really ones to enjoy, not to write off as well, not to sort of, you know, roll over and say, listen, lads, you know, off you go over the snake pass with 3 points. You know, you're going to have to work for it, sir. But yeah, you know, it's not the kind of game that you know, if you do lose, you're not down. If you win it, you're not up. You know, it's one of those things. You know, it's bigger fish to fry for United than playing against City. And obviously the game against Everton the week after is one that, you know, you don't want to go into that international break with no wins from four, do you? So hopefully there's some reinforcements by them. I know we keep saying this, so we can stop saying the same thing on every podcast. Hopefully there is a breakthrough. And hopefully it starts to have the impact that everyone wants.
That's great. Danny, thanks a lot. That's us for this week. Thank you again to Danny and for all you watching and listening. We'll be back next week to hopefully have some positivity. Hopefully there'll be some new players in the door. And you never know, there might be a win on the board. Who knows? You never know what's going to happen. Keep up with everything Beards related, new signings, features, interviews, the inside scoop from S2 galleries and loads more on thestar.co.uk/football. Follow us on The Star Blades on Twitter and on Facebook and Instagram. And we will see you next time on the Star Blades podcast. Thanks very much.
Thank you.